A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Psachim Ayin Dalet, Psachim 74a. We have the privilege of starting a new perek, pagination, page 147. Ketzad Solin Es HaPesach, how did they roast the Korban Pesach? Now, the mitzvah of roasting the Korban Pesach, as opposed to cooking it, as is described in Parshas Bo, at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is a mitzvah that is very rich in ta'amei ha-mitzvahs, in insights that are given for this mitzvah, to roast as opposed to cook. One perspective is that it's an element of zrizus, that forever, when we do the Korban Pesach, in Mitzrayim, and then afterwards, for generations, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when we would do a Korban Pesach, there's a concept of zrizus, that meat roasted on an open flame roasts faster than meat that's cooking in a pot. And the element of zrizus is an important element in Yetzias Mitzrayim, and a great lesson for life. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ready to do something, He does it, not a millisecond too early, not a millisecond too late. Bizrizus, bidyuk, at the exact moment. Bachatzos halayla, at the middle of the night, is the way Makas Bechoros is described by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything exact. And therefore, the zrizus that was involved in getting us out of Mitzrayim, that we had to roast it, we had to be ready, we had to move quickly, that's all a part of the lesson of the mitzvah. There's another fascinating insight that's given, that it's reicho nodeif. The smell of tzli, of roasting, can be smelled by people around. And the lesson here is that even though the Jews were roasting the Avodah Zorah of the Mitzrayim, whatever it means, it was their Avodah Zorah, but they wouldn't have done something like this, and they didn't want anybody else doing something like this, to shecht and roast the animal. We did it, and we did it without fear. We were willing to do it silly. It wasn't underground, Muranos, or something like that. We did it clearly, proudly, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this mitzvah, and we're going to do it regardless of what the Egyptian taskmasters say. Another reason is that it's mut'am, it's more tasty. A person who is wealthy can afford to roast the meat, and even though roasting constrains the meat, and there's less meat at the end, and a person would be less satisfied from the meal, as opposed to cooking, which bloats the meat and adds liquid to it and makes it seem like it's much more. But a person who's wealthy can afford to have this more tasty form of preparing the meat, even though it constrains it and gives him less to consume. So in any case, the mitzvah of tzli, mitzvah in the Torah, there are many insights. Ketzad Solin Es HaPesach, how did they go about roasting the Korban Pesach? So the Mishnah tells us, Mevi'in Shfud Shal Rimon. They took a spit made out of pomegranate wood, and the Gemara explains very specifically, because we were looking for a wood that would not give moisture into the inside of the Korban Pesach, because this spit was going to be put straight through from the mouth of the animal until the other side, and that's how they would roast it, with the spit directly through the animal. And if the wood would be emitting liquid, then the inside of the animal would be cooking rather than roasting, because it's affected by the liquid. And we want it to be prepared based on the open flame, the status of tzli. As the Mishnah says, v'toch v'lesoch piv, you go through the mouth, at base nekuvaso, until the other end. V'nosen eskirov es b'nei meyav l'socho div Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Rabbi Yossi HaGlili says that the innards were there. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, no, kibin bishul huzeh, you don't keep the innards inside the animal, elatolin chutzalo, but rather you hang the innards outside the animal, and they get roasted, they're affected by the fire in their own independent way. You may recall from Daf Nun Gimel 53, when we talked about Tudus Ish Romi, the person Tudus, who wanted the people to have roasted meat on the night of Pesach, presumably to remember the Karban Pesach. So it was called Gedi Mekulas, the kid, the animal, the lamb that's armed, that has things hanging next to it. And Rashi says that's this imagery from Rabbi Akiva's opinion, that you're tolin chutzalo, that you hang things next to the animal, and it looks like it's armaments, like it's ready to go into battle. And that's the expression mekulas, which is the way the Karban Pesach was referred to. Ein tolin es ha-pesach lo al ha-shfud, you're not allowed to roast the Karban Pesach on a metal spit, for lo al ha-askala, and not on a grill. And again, the issue over here is that the Pesach has to be tzli eish, roasted from the fire, and not machmas dover acher, metal conducts heat, and is going to roast the meat because of its own heat. Let's drop down to the Gemara one line. V'nesi shel mateches, what's wrong with a rod of metal? And the Gemara says, Aydi dechamiktsaso chamkulo. Since it gets hot in a little bit, the entire thing gets hot, v'kamatvi machmas hashfud, and it ends up roasting the animal, cooking the animal because of the spit. V'rachmano Omar, and the Torah says, tzili eish, it has to be roasted by fire, v'lo tzili machmas tafar acher, and not roasted by something else, which is what the metal would do. This principle of chamik tzaso chamkulo is an important principle to be aware of in laws of kashrus. It comes up a lot in terms of debates, when to apply it or not. But if you have a utensil that's made out of metal and it comes in contact with something, we're going to consider handling it differently with the assumption that perhaps the entire vessel got hot, as opposed to if you were dealing with a wooden spoon, in which case we don't say chamik tzaso chamkulo. Again, there's a big debate on each item, when to apply it, each case, when to apply it, but it is definitely an important principle to be aware of, that because metal conducts the heat, the entire utensil becomes hot in many applications. Now, for our purposes, the contrast here between tzili and mevushal, roasting and cooking, makes an enormous difference for our Karban Pesach, our Seder night. We're not allowed to eat tzili, roasted meat, because we're worried that someone might mistaken it for an attempt of a Karban Pesach outside the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mechaber writes that really the only thing that is firmly prohibited would be a case of an entire animal. But if it was missing a limb, and therefore it wasn't being done the way it was done by the Karban Pesach and the Beis HaMikdash, then it would be okay. Our minig, however, is, as the Mishnah Berurah says, Tafayin Vav Sifkatan Aleph, Uve'elu Arotzos Einoagin Lechol Tzli B'Shnei Halelos, we do not eat any roasted meat on the two nights of Seder, to the point that even Pesach Shanitzla B'Kedera Puzzle, even though a Korban Pesach, if it was roasted, pot roasted, in its own juice in a pot, it would certainly be pasul as a Korban Pesach, nevertheless, something like that we would prohibit from serving tzlikador, pot roasted, on the night of Pesach, even though it's not similar to the Korban Pesach. If a person wants to do something in the oven like that, they should make sure to add plenty of sauce, juice, etc., things that it's not simply roasting in its own liquid. However, the Mishneh Berurah writes, fascinating, that if a person did make tzli, and he wants to serve it, he made roasted food, he wants to serve it, achar kach bishlo, if you cook it afterwards, that totally changes the image of the product, and muta lako, it becomes permitted. So that really emphasizes the difference between tzli and bishl. Even something that was tzli, if you did bishl afterwards, it becomes permitted to us because it is so different than the Korban Pesach. Yeshe Koach, have a great day.